to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Welcome. Happy to have you along here for the Tuesday pod as we get you ready for NFL Week 14. If you've been with us all season, since we relaunched the Sharp 600, welcome back. Glad you're here. If you're listening for the first time, thanks for giving us a chance. Buckle up, because we're going to go fast and furious for 10 minutes. Low-fat, high-protein handicapping. And speaking of protein, we eat well this week after a solid Week 13 for podcast picks. Started with that winner on Thursday Night Football. We rolled right into a winner on Sunday night. One of those winners, a TD anytime for T. Higgins from a Mandel producer and touchdown anytime connoisseur. What does that make us on the season here, Del?
I believe we're 72 and 58. Yes, 72 and 58. So it's good. We're back on a high note here. And as the season's wrapping up, usually stuff gets harder to predict. But we're killing it. And we're hoping to keep that going this week.
All right. Get some Santa money. Put some Santa money in your pocket.
That's what we need.
So before we start the clock here on the Sharp 600, we ask that if you can find some time to rate and review the podcast, let us know what you like, let us know what you don't. Helps us make a better podcast for you every week and also reach more sports bettors like yourself. And with that said, a fresh 600 seconds on the clock, please.
This one's for you, Pop. It's go time.
It's go time.
It's go time. We start the Tuesday podcast looking at the notable line moves for Week 14 in the first 48 hours of action. And we start in Motown, where the Lions lines have been up and down and shaking and moving here in recent weeks. Last week, it was public on Detroit, sharps on Jacksonville. This time around, I think you're going to get both of those betting sects on the same side. Detroit open as a one-point home pup hosting the Vikings. And this jumped the fence to Lions -1.5. And then this afternoon, we saw this line even go further, -2.5. Got to assume early week action coming from pros here on the Lions, and more so fading a Vikings team that's playing its first road game in a long, long time, as well as coming off a win over the Jets in which they were just outyarded by not fantastic Jets offense. Let's say that. So some money coming in against Minnie. One game that I noted in my Bet Now, Bet Later article comes out on Sunday night shortly after the odds open was Carolina at Seattle. Now, I said if you like the Seahawks, wait it out. This line will move and shorten up, and if you like the Panthers, buy them now. I thought it may dip to like -5, -4 after opening 6. This sucker sunk all the way down to Seattle, -3.5. Carolina off a bye, 5-1 ATS in its last 6 games. And this team has been kind of a sharp darling this season. We've seen early money. We've seen game day action on them. And even before the whole QB mess and Matt Rhule's firing, Carolina holding a soft spot with sharps. The battle for Ohio has Cincinnati opening from -4.5, jumping to -6, hosting the Browns. Not as big a move as you would think because it is blowing through a lot of dead numbers. But the Bengals definitely getting a lot of love, getting a lot of attention by the mainstream media after beating Kansas City last Sunday. It's stringing together some wins in recent weeks. Deshaun Watson, he was bailed out by this Browns defense, bailed out by the special teams in his debut against the Houston Texans. But this Browns team did stun Cincinnati on Monday Night Football a few weeks back. So respect there. Then you've got two starting quarterbacks dealing with injuries. Lamar Jackson, a knee sprain, leaves him pretty questionable for Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Ravens sitting +3. Jimmy Garoppolo out for the year for San Francisco. They host Tampa Bay. Niners still -3.5. Now, I don't want to diminish Lamar Jackson and his worth to the spread because I believe he's among the most valuable out there. But Tyler Huntley has been a pretty good backup quarterback. Comfortable under center, not as dangerous as Lamar, but can still make plays happen as we saw on Sunday when he came in relief. And this team is used to playing with him and they will rally around him at QB as well too. Pittsburgh playing some great two-way football. They're coming home where they're always, always tough. This is going to be a tight one. And as far as Jimmy G, we kind of saw what we saw from third stringer Brock Purdy. Kind of confirms the whole system QB for this Kyle Shanahan offense and the 49ers. I think the Niners can keep rolling. I don't think they're going to skip much of a beat in terms of the regular season. It's laid out pretty well for them. But once the playoffs begin and the big game pressure builds, that's where you're going to miss Garoppolo. He's been in those big games. He's played in a Super Bowl. And while he's not the most fantastic quarterback, he is going to be a lot better than Mr. Irrelevant. The look ahead for this game was as big as San Francisco, -6.5. Now down to -3.5 after the Bucs' ugly win on Monday. Jimmy G, is he really worth a field goal to the spread in this system? Maybe at least with the Bucs on a short week here in San Francisco. I do have some early bets in the hopper for week 14. I bet these Sunday night. They've since moved, but still some value on the board. Starting with the over 52.5 for Vikings at Lions. This one up to 53.5 points now as of Tuesday afternoon. We just saw Minnesota score 33 and 27 points against the Pats and the Jets, who rank out top seven in all those advanced defensive metrics. They now play a Detroit defense that sits 31st in EPA allowed per play. The Vikings are no brick wall either. They got out-yarded by the Jets last week. They allowed a ton of points to the Patriots, pop gun offense. And they faced this talent-rich Lions attack inside the fast track of Ford Field. I think anything below 54 points seems like a solid over for me. Took Philadelphia Eagles -6.5. You're going to like this one, Dell. They're in East Rutherford facing the Giants. This one now as high as Eagles -7, which I'm still okay with. There's maybe not as much separating these teams in terms of wins and losses in the standings right now, but the gap between the Eagles and the Giants here in terms of quality is much further than a touchdown. Philly's pass rush could win this game on its own, facing a dismal Giants pass protection that's allowed Daniel Jones to feel the second highest pressure rate in the land, 37 sacks allowed. The Eagles just decimated the Titans, a good Titans team in week 13. And we're starting to see some slip-ups here from Brian Daboll and this New York playbook. You got to pick your poison with this Eagles offense. I don't know how the hell you slow them down. Philly is going to win. Philly's going to cover. I also went over 51.5 points in Dolphins at Chargers. This one up to 52.5. There's 52s out there. There's some books still at 51.5. They're playing it cool with Tua nursing that ankle injury. He's expected to play. Miami just got manhandled in Santa Clara. They lost hard to the 49ers, but now they face a much softer test in terms of the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. The Chargers defense is bad. Miami's defense is bad. You have two offenses that are good. They're playing inside a fast track at SoFi. You've got two quality quarterbacks, plenty of home run hitters on the field. And then the two pass rushes for these teams, pretty passive. A lot of time in pocket for these guys to allow those big plays to develop. I like the over and fins at Bolts. As we do on the Tuesday podcast each week, we dig into the schedule. We shake out some of the best situational capping opportunities, also known as spot bets. These are just some underlying factors to think about as you're sizing up the odds here in week 14. The letdown spot for week 14 goes to the Bengals, who are now 6-point home chalk, hosting the Browns. And while Cleveland's win over Cincy in week 8 could sprinkle a little bit of revenge into the mix, the Bengals are susceptible to the letdown following that big resume win over Kansas City. And it has pumped this spread, as we said, from as low as 4.5 to 6. Cleveland has won 5 straight games against its AFC North rivals. And if you saw the clip of that poor girl coming off the nitrous high after getting her wisdom teeth out, you know that Joe Burrow has never beaten the dang Browns. So beware that letdown with the Bengals. Look-ahead spot features the Las Vegas Raiders, who not only have to prepare on a short week, they got to go on the road to play the Rams on Thursday, but head coach Josh McDaniels, he could get caught looking ahead to a Foxborough homecoming in week 15. He faces the Sith Lord, his dark master, Bill Belichick. Next week, Vegas laying as many as 6.5 points in SoFi against an LA team that fought hard, covered as a big underdog against Seattle last week. Finally, the schedule spot for week 14. Could be a tough one to buy into considering just how shit the Denver Broncos are, but Kansas City is playing its second straight road game and its third road game in 4 weeks. When it goes all the way up the mountain to Mile High, it runs into the Broncos defense, which is very good, and it also plays in that thin, energy-sapping air in Colorado. The spread as high as KC -9.5. However, Pinnacle, one of the more respected sharp books out there, down to -8. It could show you where the pro opinion is. However, I think the betting public is going to pile on KC, especially coming off a loss and how bad Denver is. We're going to see this back up the double digits by Sunday. Denver has only been an underdog of 9 points or more 4 times since 1985, going 1-3 straight up, but 3-1 ATS in those games. Now, that trend, it doesn't mean much for this team, which is just complete dog shit. However, one of those was against Kansas City last year, week 18. They were 11-point favorites. They won 28-24. Denver covered. So beware that nasty schedule spot, especially with the spread rising like it is. Two-minute drill, as we mentioned. Week 14 kicks off with the Raiders at Rams on Thursday Night Football. Vegas up to -6.5. The total sitting around 43.5, 44 points. I like a player prop for this primetime game. I'm looking at running back Cam Akers for the Los Angeles. And I'm going to go under his rushing total of 45 and a half yards. Now, Akers coming off a season high 17 carries in week 13, rushed for 60 yards, two touchdowns and a hard fought loss to Seattle. He's seen his workload pick up since returning to the team after a weird October in which the Rams couldn't give him away. They couldn't trade him, and they basically just told him to stay home. He's come back. He got a lot of snaps last week. However, while the Rams are running the ball a lot more since Matt Stafford went down, not all those touches belong to Akers. He's not only sharing carries with fellow running back Kyren Williams, but he's also had to share touches with wide receivers Brandon Powell and Tutu Atwell. Those two combined for 68 yards on 7 rush attempts in Week 13. His carries could also diminish if we see Bryce Perkins get the nod over an injured John Warford at quarterback. He's got legs. He can run. He has 92 yards on 18 attempts this season. And he ran for nine runs for 44 yards against Kansas City a couple weeks ago. Game script would also work against running the ball for Los Angeles as well, too, considering Las Vegas is as big as 6.5, -6.5, likely forcing LA to play from behind, pass more, even with McVay really relentless with the run game, even when he trailed against KC and the Saints, though. But the Raiders' ability to run the ball with Josh Jacobs, dominate time of possession with a methodical pace that ranks out 20 seconds in terms of seconds per play, it doesn't leave Los Angeles much time with the football, and it does leave less opportunities for Akers to go over his rushing yard total here. And overall, he's not been that great, averaging 4 yards per carry over its last 3 games. He's taken on a Raiders defense ranked out number 7 in EPA allowed per handoff. They've checked rival running backs to just 3.2 yards per carry during its last 3-game winning streak. So under Cam Akers, 45 and a half rushing yards on Thursday Night Football. Whew, yeah, baby. That is it for the Tuesday edition of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. A reminder, please rate and review the podcast when you get a moment. We would love that. And a note, my NFL Underdogs column usually comes out Wednesdays or Thursdays. It's actually up on covers.com right now, a day earlier. Taking a couple days off this week. We need to get it on the board. We will talk to you on the Friday pod. Good luck with Thursday Night Football.